God causes all things to work together for our good. Can you say a great big amen to that? But you know what? That's not too easy to believe when you're going through a nightmare. Okay. But this is a promise we can always fall back on. According to your faith, so be it unto you. I believe that. I think if I believe if I stay faithful and keep doing what God has called me to do, God will cause all the bad things happening around me to work for my good. That's what the word says. And that's what I believe. God causes all things to work together for our good. So we want to look at this thought. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't work for everyone, but those who love God and that God has a call on, he does have a call on everyone, can you say amen, that he calls into the kingdom. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Joseph said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. His brothers hated him and sold him into slavery." You think you've had some problems? Just think of that. Just imagine how he must have felt when his own brothers, they even contemplated killing him. But one of them spoke up and said, "No, let's don't kill him. Let's get some money out of him." So they sold him as a slave. I mean, I think that's pretty bad. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who call according to his purpose." There it is in Scripture. Romans 8, 28. I don't like to just get up here and tell you what it says. I like to read it to you so you can see for yourself and put it on the screen. There it is. I mean, think if you pray over that a little while, you start believing it. It's easy to say, but boy, when things are really going rough, it's not so easy to believe, but you have to believe the word no matter what. You don't go by circumstances. You see, this does not mean that everything that happens is good or that God sent those bad things. Some people believe that God's in control of everything and he sends everything bad. That is totally contrary to the word of God. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Not me. I'm come that you might have life and that more abundantly." Well, let's not insult God by making up stuff. Amen. Amen. God is good and does good, period. Well, bad things have really brought some good things into my life. That's what I'm talking about right now. God takes the bad things the devil does and redeems it, turns it into good for us. But it's God that does the redeeming, sure not the devil. And God didn't send the bad things. Amen. You cannot rebuke the devil if you think he's doing God's will. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. If I believe God sent strep throat, well, I guess I used to believe that. I sure didn't rebuke it. If you believe God sent strep throat, you just take it and not preach half the time. But I found out it comes from the devil, and I can take authority over it and drive it out. Get rid of it. So this does not mean that everything bad that happens to us came from God. You see, he takes what the devil means for evil, redeems it, and turns it to good. That's what redemption is, taking bad things and turning them into good, taking evil, wicked people and turning them into new creations. That's what redemption is. Those amens were weak, but right now I'll take anything I can get. This includes our own mistakes and failures. You say, "Well, I really messed up." You remember one of my favorite verses that really got me out of hot water a long time ago? "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Even when you mess up, the angels are there to turn it to good and to bail you out. Genesis 37, verse 19. "And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh." They're mad at him because he had dreams of them bowing down to him. They said, "We'll never bow down to this arrogant teenager." And so they sold him into slavery. "And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. If there had been water in it, it would have drowned. Verse 28, then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Can you imagine the horror that he was going through? Sold into slavery by his own family. Genesis 39, verse 2. But the interesting thing to me, he never gave up on God. So how do you know that? Because God blessed everything he did. And he's still interpreted by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of God. He still interpreted people's dreams. So he still maintained his faith in God all the way through this nightmare. How are you doing? You maintain your faith through some difficult things? Genesis 39, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. See, that's the good news. Whatever you're going through, you can count on him being right there. The Hebrew children got thrown into the fire, but the king looked in and said, one, two, three. How many do we cast in? They said three, so I see four. And the fourth one looks like the son of the gods. The Lord was with Joseph and is with you, is with me. All we need to do is stay faithful and not get discouraged and not give up. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. It says, even as a slave, he prospered. Why? Because God was with him. His master, Potiphar, respected him because he saw the hand of God on him. And remember, these guys didn't really know God, but they can see something was different about Joseph. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. You know, if you pray and seek God and get his advice and get his direction, you'll be successful. Amen. We measure success a little different than God does. But if you're faithful and stay true to him, he'll help you to always come out on top. What happened to Joseph was evil, but God saw was with him for a purpose. You see, we are called according to his purpose. Remember, I just read that. Those who are called according to his purpose. If you're born again, you certainly are called to a purpose. And I think every human being is predestined to a great life if they'll accept Christ. But God has a plan for you. But what a lot of people don't understand, you can turn it down. Well, everybody's predestined. Yes, but you don't have to do it. You have free will. You say, I'm not going to do it. I was called to preach. I could have said, I'm not going to do it. Some of you wished I had, but I didn't. Genesis 30, don't mess up my... Genesis... I'm trying to get people to feel sorry for me. Genesis 39, 6. Now Joseph was... was handsome in form and appearance. Verse 7, how many know being good looking can be a curse? Verse 7, his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. That would have been the end of most men right there. If he had accepted her invitation, you never heard of Joseph. But he was a godly man. Listen to what he said. And Joseph said, there is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? He said, I'm not going to do it. As she spoke to Joseph, and he was a slave, he couldn't get away from her. I mean, he had to be in the house doing the work. I mean, he could run away, but he had to come back to do the work. As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Even though he stayed true to God and did what was right before God, did what was right toward Potiphar by not touching his wife, she accused him of attempted rape, and Potiphar threw him in prison. Now that's working out really good. Start off as a slave and now you're in prison. But he still has this dream of everybody in the whole world bowing down to him. Well, that's not working too good right now. I sold into slavery and now I'm a prisoner. What in the world's going on? And he wasn't too happy. And you'll see that, I think, in a few minutes. I mean, he was being blessed, but he was still a slave and now a prisoner. So there is no one greater in this house. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Verse 10, as she spoke to David day to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. Even though he stayed true to God, he still got into big trouble. Life is not fair. Well, I've heard people say, well, life is not fair. Who said it? Who said it was? It is not fair. That's why you need to serve God, because God is fair. Amen. He'll work things out for you. Amen. Just like he did for Joseph. But Joseph maintained his faith, and you must too. No matter what happens, you got to maintain your faith. God had given him a dream. Focus on your dream and not what you see. It says, do not fix your eye on what is seen, but what is not seen. What is not seen? The promises. If a promise is fulfilled in your life and you have it in hand, it's no longer a promise. It's a reality. But as long as it's a promise, you don't have it. And so you have to stay focused on the promise. What you do not see, with his stripes I'm healed. You may not see it, but you know it's true that God is working to heal you and restore you to health. You have to believe that, get it in you, and stand on it. Can you say amen? Get that substance, that evidence, that knows so in you that God is healing you, and never give it up, no matter what the symptoms may say. Genesis 39, verse 20. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place, listen, where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. No one can see it, but God is already working to bring him out on top. But he doesn't know it. He just knows he has a dream that sure doesn't seem to be working. Joseph is in jail, but he's in the right jail. I said he's in the right jail. God gives Joseph favor, and the jailer begins to promote him and puts him in charge of the whole prison. You can't keep a man of God down. He'll rise to the top every time because God. You see, he rises to the top, but he's still in prison. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 1, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, and so he threw them in jail with Joseph, or in prison with Joseph. Verse 3, and put them in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned Joseph to take care of them. Interesting. Wonder how that worked out. How did that happen? God. Wonder what God's doing in your life. Wonder what God is working on for you. You'll find out if you stay faithful and continue to be obedient and serve him like Joseph did. Joseph does not see it, but God is causing things to work together for his good. Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, we both had dreams. So Joseph is talking to these guys. They're under his care. And so they answer, we both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. He says, well, I know God. He says, then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. In other words, I know God, and he can give me the interpretation to your dreams. So the first guy, the cupbearer, I'm not going to tell you what the dreams are. You can read, go look them up. I don't have time to read them. And to the cupbearer, he said, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. As I've said, you'll see, he wasn't happy being there. God's blessing him, but he's still in prison. And he says, talk to Pharaoh and get me out of here. I haven't done anything wrong. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing wrong. I have done nothing to deserve being put in this dungeon. And back then, a prison was a dungeon. But the cupbearer forgot Joseph. Isn't that just the way it is? These people you spend the most time helping and loving on and blessing seem like they're the first one to forget you. Sometimes the first ones to stab you in the back. But we're not serving people. Well, we're serving God, but in the process we serve people. But the goal is to please God by blessing people and let God worry about the results. Over the years, as a pastor, it seems like the people I spent the most time really trying to help were the first ones to oppose me and fight me and come against me and stab me in the back. That's okay. God didn't call me, you know, to have a rosy life. I just got to preach and teach and do what he says to do, and God will reward. God will bless. And I'm saying that for your benefit, not mine. I already know it. But if you serve people and serve God, God will. The reward, the promotion comes from God. And you need to remember that at work too. The promotion comes from God. Well, that honorary boss, he doesn't notice anything I do. He's insulting. Hey, promotion comes from God. Keep your eyes on God. Remember Joseph. How do you have worse circumstances than Joseph? So the cupbearer forgot Joseph. But the baker heard the good report, the good interpretation. He said, now I interpret my dream. Joseph did. It didn't turn out so good. Verse 19, within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head, not lift up your head, lift off your head, and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh. That was not a good interpretation, but it was accurate. He was executed. Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. When 2 full years had passed, that cupbearer forgot him for 2 years. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. No one could interpret the dream. See, God could have given him that dream. The second day, the cupbearer got back to his position. But God waited 2 years. Well, I'm in a hurry. Well, God may not be. He does everything in his time according to the season, it says. There's a season. And within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Verse 9, the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, today I am reminded of my shortcomings. I'm reminded that I let that Jewish boy down, that Hebrew boy down. He remembered Joseph and that he had interpreted his dream. Verse 14, So Pharaoh, when the cupbearer told him about Joseph, Pharaoh sent for Joseph and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. Y'all paying attention? 13 years after he was sold into slavery, Pharaoh called him over to the palace for an interview. so to speak. Verse 29, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. 7 years, I'm not going to read the dream. You can go read it yourself. But the interpretation is 7 years of great abundance is coming throughout the land of Egypt. But 7 years of famine will follow them. And we know you have a great year. The next year may not be so great. And while you're having a great year, you don't want to blow it all on limousines and things that really lose their value, because next year it might not go so good. You need to save it up a little bit. Save up a little bit. Joseph was a wise man, and so was Pharaoh. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. And then in verse 33, he gives him some advice. He says to Pharaoh, now let Pharaoh look for discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh is looking right at him. So Pharaoh said, well, where can I find someone wiser than you? That wasn't his words, but that's what he meant. So Joseph stored up grain for Egypt. So he went to work storing up grain. He had built all these warehouses that we would call them, where they stored all this grain. They had enough grain to feed the whole world because God had it all planned. And he had a man, a God called faithful man that he could depend on to help feed the whole world. Can God count on you? Do you do what you say you're going to do? And do you do it on time? So Joseph stored up grain for Egypt. Now the whole world, all of a sudden, was coming to Joseph. And I don't know if he could begin to see, you know, that his dream was being fulfilled, but probably by now he's thinking, man, God is doing something. After 13 years of misery, God is doing something. Now the whole world was coming to Joseph in Genesis chapter 42, verse 1. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he sent his sons, Joseph's brothers down to Egypt to buy grain. They thought Joseph was long gone. They thought they'd never see him again. And his father, Jacob, thought he was dead. The brothers are about to get tattled on. Jake was about to find out the truth. And you know, you can't hide your sin forever. Got to reveal it, okay? Verse 6. Of course, you can repent of it and get rid of it. Verse 6. Now, Joseph was the governor of the land. What did that say? Governor. In those days, you bowed down to governors. When Joseph learned that there was grain in Egypt, he sent his sons, verse 6. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all the people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their face to the ground. Finally, there they were, bowing before him just as he had seen in his dreams 13 years before. There they are on the ground. They said, we'll never bow down to this dumb teenager, arrogant little brat. There they are. Yay. There they are. God's giving you a dream. Don't give up on it. God causes all things to work together for good. Didn't cause the bad, but he can bring good out of bad. Genesis 50, verse 19, but Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. When they realized who he was, they said, oh boy, are we in trouble? He's going to kill us. But he didn't. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? Vengeance is not mine, it's God's. I'm going to leave you up to God. I'm going to let God deal with you. And he already was dealing with them pretty embarrassingly, laying on their face before their little brother that they sold into slavery. Verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me. There it is. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. God can work in those bad things and turn them to your good. My daddy cussing me every day of my life and destroying my ego when I was just in the first, second, third, fourth grade was not God. It wasn't God's will either. And it did major harm to me. But God turned it to good. Now I'm a better pastor because of it. Because I understand people that's been abused and hurt, slapped around. Can you say amen? I understand people better than a lot of preachers because I've been there, done that, so to speak. Verse 21, so therefore, do not be afraid. And by the way, God has healed me of all those hurts and scars to the point, as you've heard me say before, I'm almost normal. And judging from some of you normal people, I'm not sure I want to be normal. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones, even though you sold me into slavery. I'm going to take care of you and your children. So be comforted then and spoke kindly to them. He did not hate them, but loved them. God turned it for the good of all of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This does not mean that everything that happens is good or that God causes bad things. It means that he turns it to good. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 20, chapter 50, Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph once again says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. The good news is you can tell if someone hates you or someone loves you. Harry Tilford, one of the best friends I've ever had in my life. He's a black man about 8 feet tall. And we were actually neighbors. His house was right behind mine, and his lot joined mine on the corner. His kids played in my yard. My kids played in his yard. I mean, we still stick together and hang together. You mess with Harry, you're going to mess with me. You mess with me, you're going to mess with Harry. And he's a lot bigger than me and a lot bigger than most of you. So leave me alone. But, and he was my co-venture group leader for years. And I noticed myself, one of the venture groups, we were getting food, and I kept calling him boy. And well, I'm just an old country boy, and I have a tendency to call everybody boy. And I said, Harry, I've been calling you boy, but you know I don't mean anything by that. He said, oh, I know that. He said, I can tell when somebody loves me. There's what you're looking for. Somebody that loves you. Black or white, Hispanic, Asian. We're all God's kids. And God does not honor people who carry any kind of hate for any reason. Matter of fact, it says if you hate your brother, and it means everybody. You hate anybody, you do not have, it's murder, and no murder has eternal life. If you hate somebody, you got big problems. And God has created the greatest nation on this earth for us, and we can't sit by and let people destroy it. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Joseph said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Because of the evil of slavery, God has made the United States of America the most beautiful, diverse nation in the world. There's never been nothing like it in history, and probably will never be anything like it ever again. So we need to take good care of it. Can you say amen? Now, you notice I avoid saying it's perfect. It's not perfect because it's made up of people like us. It'll never be perfect. And most of you won't ever be perfect either until you're in heaven. Okay. And I certainly know I'm not perfect and never will be on this earth. Now, God expects us to take what he has given us and make it better. Make it better. Make it better. With his help, let's all stand.